I have been preaching this week in the state of Illinois. Brother Gary Shepherd and I preached up on the Wisconsin border Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night. And I returned home Friday, late Friday evening. Saturday morning, I began my day by calling a friend and inquiring about another friend who is in the hospital. And he told me that my friend was quite ill. And I said, well, I'll go down to see him. So I went down to the hospital to visit this man who's been a friend, a dear, close friend for many, many years. I'm talking about 35 years. We have been very close. A man I admire and love very much. I wasn't quite prepared for what I found. I went into the room all the way down there. I was thinking about him and what we would say, and we would talk a little bit. You know, we have the same name, Henry. And I figured I'd go and say, hi, Henry, and he'd say, hi, Henry. We'd talk a little while and have prayer, and I'd enjoy my visit with him. That's what I had prepared to do. Well, I went into the room, and the nurse was in there and spoke to her, and she stepped back out of the way, and I walked around the bed, and he was lying there on the bed. He's in his early 80s. And I said, hi, Henry. And he looked up at me, and Cecil, he said, who are you? Who are you? Isn't that something? I wasn't prepared for that. Who are you? Now, we've talked hundreds and hundreds of times in his home, in my home. I preached to him for years. He's been very close to me for many years. He said, who are you? And I said, well, I'm Henry. He said, Henry who? You think of this now. And I said, well, I'm Henry Mahan. He said, what do you do? What do you do? Well, I couldn't stay there much longer. So I left, and I left walking down the hall thinking of several passages of Scripture. One that came to my mind was Ecclesiastes 12. Would you turn over there with me, Ecclesiastes chapter 12? It says in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 12, remember now thy Creator, thy God, in the days of thy youth. Think upon the Lord God. Set your affection on Christ now, nowadays. While the evil days come not, the evil days of decay, the decay of faculties, the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when you shall say, I have no pleasure in these things. I thank God that this man to whom I refer heard the gospel. He heard it when he could hear it, and he believed it. Now he doesn't know me. He doesn't even know what I do. But he knows Christ, and he knows what he did, because he heard it when he was young. He heard it and received it. When he had his faculties, he doesn't have them anymore. Verse 2, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, that's your mind. Darkened mind. You say, you may feel, and I may feel, that this can't happen to me. Well, it not only can, but will. My own father, the last few weeks of his life, didn't even know me. Didn't have any knowledge at all of anyone. And these old minds, what somebody say, once a man, twice a child, something like that, I don't know what those things mean, but they... Nor the clouds return after the rain. Watch this. In the day when the keepers of the house, that's the arms, strong arms, defend the house and keep the house and supply the house, they're going to tremble. These strong arms that have defended yourself will be stretched out defending you no more. These arms that have supplied your needs and the things that you've required, they're going to be helpless, hanging at your side. And the strong men shall bow themselves. That's the legs. You've walked on them. There'll come a day when you can't even walk. They won't even support you. The pillars of the house are gone. And the grinders cease because they're few. That's the teeth. And they that look out of the windows be darkened. The eyes are blinded. Staring into space. You don't see anything. And the doors shall be shut in the street. The lips grow thin and tight. And the sounding of the grinding is low. No appetite. And you'll rise up at the voice of a bird. Can't sleep. And the daughters of the music shall be brought low, can't sing. And when you'll be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, fears and troubles, and the almond tree shall flourish, that's the hair will turn white, and the grasshopper will be a burden, weary of the slightest load, desire shall fail. What's happening? What's happening indeed? Man's going to his long home. Man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street. This is death. It's appointed unto men once to die. This is death. This, my friend, is where every one of us are going to be someday. He's dying. And now you talk about preach the gospel, run to the hospital, preach the gospel. It's too late to preach the gospel. There's no understanding of the gospel. There's no need for the gospel. There's no desire for the gospel. The time to preach the gospel is when men are listening, when they have the faculties. Verse 6 says, or the silver cord be loose. That's the bond between the soul and the body. Silver cord shall be loose. The body will give up the spirit. And the golden bowl will be broken. That's the brain. The pitcher will be broken at the fountain, that's the heart, and the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust, and he remembereth our frame, he knoweth that we're dust. It doesn't matter this morning if you're in the prime of your life, in the strength of your health, every faculty is sharp, you're at your sharpest peak, you're still dust. You're made of dust, and the dust is going to crumble. And years will bring about the crumbling. This man, this friend of mine, has been a strong... He worked at Armco for many, many years. Served in the U.S. Navy for many, many years. He was a robust and strong and healthy and vigorous and intelligent man. But he's just not there anymore. He's just not there, Tom. And the dust is returning to the dust as it was. And the Spirit's returning to God who gave it. And this is the conclusion of Solomon, vanity of vanities. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity, saith the preacher. And when you come to that point, and I know we have a lot to say about this, boast not thyself of tomorrow. These are scriptures that we know. We know them by memory. We know them. We've heard them. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The scripture says, what is your life? What is your life? Why, it's but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then it's gone. What is your life? It's but a flower that bloometh today and is withered tomorrow. All flesh is grass. All the goodliness and glory of men is as a flower of the field. It withereth, it decayeth, it fadeth away. Isn't that right? We know that. Do we know that? But do we know that? What is your life? It's but a shadow. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth it with dust. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth. And that's what we do. Clamor and drive and work and strive and labor and all these things to lay up for ourselves treasures on this earth. Treasures on this earth. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Here the moth and rust doth corrupt. Thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth or rust doth never corrupt and thieves never break through and steal. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And then I thought of another scripture in Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 22. I want you to look at this. Jeremiah 9:22. And it begins this way. Speak. Speak. Thus saith the Lord. Even the carcasses, that's the dead bodies of men, even the carcasses, the dust, the dead bodies of men shall fall as dung, manure upon the open field. That's what we amount to. He remembereth our frame. We're dust. We fall like dung on the open field. And watch this. And as the handful after the harvestman. In other words, stalks of grain that the harvestman has missed and they just drop along this wayside and no one bothers with them. They just lie there. And they're plowed up later. Or plowed into the field. That's what he's saying. Speak, thus saith the Lord, the dead bodies of men shall fall as manure upon the open field, and they shall fall as a handful of wheat or some kind of grain behind the harvest man that he hasn't even paid any attention to. As he's binding up the sheaves, he just let it lay there. And none shall gather them. So thus saith the Lord. Now get with me here. Thus saith the Lord. Then let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Now we've got some wise men in this congregation, some wise women in the things of this world. You're intelligent. God's blessed you with intelligence and initiative and ingenuity and in the things of this world. But don't, what does the word glory mean? When you glory in something. Well, to glory in something is to honor it and exalt it and find great satisfaction therein. Satisfaction. And to give it such priority that it occupies a very important place in your life. It is to glory in something. I said the other night to folks where I was preaching, sometimes we preachers use words and we don't define them. People don't know what we're talking about. Like the glory of the Lord and glorying in the Lord and glory. What does it mean to glory? It means to honor and exalt something. It means to give it a place of priority, doesn't it? Lift it up. It means to find great delight in it. Great satisfaction in it. So he says, you who are blessed with wisdom, the wisdom of this world, don't glory in it. Don't exalt and magnify it. Don't try to find any satisfaction. But men do. They do. Oh, my, my. Let a fellow get a little education or maybe get a position or a promotion or maybe he's elevated over somebody else. Maybe he's got a bunch of men working under him. And he can get high and mighty, can't he? Oh, he can strut his stuff. He's so arrogant and proud. But you know, who maketh thee to differ? What do you have you didn't receive? Now, if you received it, why do you glory as if you didn't receive it? Men are going to glory in their so-called wisdom. They're going to boast in their natural wisdom. They're going to keep doing it until the Spirit of God shows them that the highest wisdom of this world they can attain is utter, absolute foolishness. That's right. That's when he's going to stop glory. The cure for vain glory is true glory. The cure for glorying in my so-called wisdom is to realize that I am by birth and nature and deed and thought a fool. That the true wisdom is Christ. He is the wisdom of God. Isn't that right? He is the wisdom of God. I've got nothing in which to boast or glory. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. That's my glory. My glory. Let not the wise man... Since the dead bodies of men are going to fall as manure in the field and forgotten sheaves behind the harvest man, then let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. My friend that I was talking to yesterday was a very wise man, very intelligent man. But he doesn't know anything today. Isn't that, you see, that's a picture. Isn't that a picture for you and me? But if he knows Christ, he has all things. Christ is the wisdom of God. Look at the next line. And let not the mighty man glory in his might. But he will. You know what might is here? Well, you say that's physical strength. Not necessarily. It may be just influence. It may be power over other men. It may be some power that you have attained through position. You have might, you have strength, you have control, you have influence. Don't glory in that. But a man will, until he's taught by God that he's nothing but dust and weakness and frailty and corruption. I knew another man in this community. I've been here a long time. I lived right over there three blocks for the last many, many years. But there was a businessman in this community whom I knew quite well. I saw him at least once a week for the last 35, 40 years. Very proud man, very wealthy man. A little arrogant. He never had a thing for me. I'd be in his place of business, and he seemed to feel like it was beneath his dignity to speak to that preacher. Because he certainly didn't believe what I was preaching. Well, the years rolled on, and he got old. He got very old. And he retired, and he got quite frail. And he had a lot of time on his hands. And he realized that he didn't have much time left, and he started listening to me on television. And the man who for 30-some-odd years had no, when he had his intelligence, when he had his faculties, when he had his thinking ability, had no use for me or my gospel or my God, one day came walking in this building, old and stooped. He came in my study and sat down in front of my desk and said, can I talk to you? I said, yes, sir, you can talk to me. Ronnie never did want to talk to me before. He never wanted to talk to anybody except about himself. But now he wants to talk. And he began to tell me about all the good deeds he had done in his life. He began to tell me about all the young people he'd helped through school. He began to tell me about all the bums he'd fed. He began to tell me about all those things. I said, but that's not it. Salvation is not in what you've done or what you're doing. Salvation is in what Christ did. But it never penetrated. It's too late. It's too late. That's the reason he said a while ago, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. If you've got some interest and concern about your soul, now's a pretty good time to do something about it. You see, my friends, a refuge that's built in a storm will go away if the sun ever comes out. And this man couldn't comprehend what I was talking about. It's too late. But all these years I've known him, he gloried in his riches, gloried in his might, gloried in his position, gloried in his influence, gloried in the fact that his money talked and he could get people to do things. Don't glory in those things. Look at the next slide. And let not the rich man glory in his riches. Actually, you know about all we own is 6 feet in the ground, a hole. Isn't that right, Dan? That's about it. And we don't own that for long because we're going to rot and somebody else will probably be buried on top of us. But we don't have anything. We don't have anything. That's the reason Moses got a glimpse of this right here. He understood by faith. He understood by faith that even the reproaches of Christ, this thing of being hated for the gospel and despised for the gospel and reproached for the glorious gospel of substitution. I'm talking about the gospel of his righteousness and the gospel of his blood and the gospel of his substitutionary work. The gospel which brings a man to love Christ, dedicated, separated, obsessed with the Lord Jesus Christ. That gospel, though it be despised of men and hated of men, the reproach of Christ is greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. Moses saw that. Have you seen that? That the fellowship with Christ, my fellowship with him, is worth all the enmity of this whole world. I wouldn't exchange 1 second of his fellowship for 1,000 years of the fellowship of this world. That's exactly right. My fellowship with Christ, the reproach of Christ, the trials of Christ, the whatever we called upon to bear, is worth far more, greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. But so let not a man glory in his riches. In his riches. I tell you, we have too much, don't we? I was thinking last week, we met in that church building up in Illinois and they didn't have air conditioning. It was 100 degrees. I had to take off my coat and my vest and preach in a shirt, my shirt sleeve. And started to say sweat, perspiration just ran. It's hot. But don't you mean we didn't have air conditioning here? There was a time when I never heard of air conditioning, but we spoiled to all these things that we've gotten used to. Luxuries. You know, things that used to be luxuries, we look on now as necessities. That's right, necessities. We've got to have the best. Got to have the best. And I hope we can not glory in these things. Just use them without abusing them. Let them get where they're not supposed to be. Watch out. Get where they're not supposed to be. They're not supposed to be there. They're not supposed to be in my eyes and my heart and my devotions. And I'm supposed to be looking, setting my affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. But men are going to glory in those things until they see that Christ is the riches of God, the riches of His grace. Riches of His grace. Look at the next line. But let him that glorieth, let him that boasts, let him that brags, let him that exalts something, let him that gives great priority to something in his life, let him what? Let him glory in this. Now here it is. I'm going to give you about five or six things here briefly. Let him glory in this. Number one, let him glory in this, that he understandeth. That he understandeth. Hold your hand right there a minute and turn to 1 John 5. What does he understand? Well, I'll tell you, some of you folks here understand. I believe I understand. I believe you've been blessed with an understanding. Understanding of what? Well, look at 1 John 5:20. An understanding. And 1 John 5:20 says, "And we know that the Son of God is come." The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come into this world and hath given us an understanding. Here's our understanding. That we may know Him that is true. That we may know God. That we may know Christ who came from God. That we may know Him as our substitute, our Redeemer, our great High Priest, our Mediator. That we may know Him that is true, and we're in Him that is true. He's the head, we're the body. And what He did in righteousness, He did for us. And what He did in sacrifice, He did for us. And what He did in exaltation and intercession, He did for us. And we're in Him that is true. We're even in His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the true God, and this is eternal life. It's in the person and work of Christ. You want to glory in something? Don't glory in your wisdom. Don't glory in your influence. Don't glory in your riches. Glory in the fact that you have an understanding of who Christ is. Oh, God, you know that salvation is not in your mother and father and godfather and godmother bringing you in front of a so-called preacher or priest and sprinkling water on your head and calling you confirmed or in a covenant. You know better than that. You know it's salvation, not walking down an aisle, shaking a preacher's hand and praying some little sinner's prayer, or going neath this water, or eating wafers and wine, or looking to the law and trying to work for God and trying to make yourself acceptable, or doing penance, or keeping Lent, or some special do without Coca-Cola week or something. You've got more sense than that. You've got an understanding. Glory in the fact you've got an understanding. An understanding that the Son of God has come. He has come. He has given us an understanding that we're in Him by God's elective grace. We're in Him by God Almighty's purpose. We're in Him as our righteousness, sin offering, scapegoat, and risen justifier. We're in Him as our great High Priest. We're in Him as our forerunner who's gone within the veil and occupied. I understand that. Whew! Glory in it. And you want me to glory in your new car? That's peanuts beside what I got a hold of. You want me to glory in some accomplishment here on this earth? You want me to glory in something that's just going to last a few years? You want me to glory in something that's just here today and gone tomorrow? Glory in this, that He understands, secondly, and He knows me. He understands and knows me. How do we know God? We know God in Christ. No man knoweth the Father but the Son. He to whom the Son will give him understanding. David said, "My soul panteth for the living God." Christ said, "Eternal life is to know the living God." It's not to know the God that sits, you know, on a shrine somewhere, or the God of somebody's imagination, or the God of the Baptists, or the God of the Catholics, or the God of the Jews, or somebody. It's to know the living God. Glory! You have an understanding and you know me. You know his might and power and glory. You know his goodness and mercy and grace. You know him as he's revealed in Christ. You know God. Show us the Father, the disciple said. Well, he said, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. No man has seen God at any time. The Son has revealed him. That's something to glory in, Tom. And glory in this, that I am the Lord. I'm glad he is. I'm glad you're not. I'm glad he's Lord, aren't you? You'd be glad I'm not. I'm glad he's the Lord. He does things wisely. He's the Lord. I'm glad he's the Lord. I'm glad he's not some poor little superstar. I'm glad he's the Lord of lords and King of kings. I'm glad he's the Lord over creation, the Lord over providence. Nothing can happen to his child without his will. I'm glad he's Lord. I'm glad he's Lord of salvation. Are you? I'm glad. I know. You glory in this. You glory. That you understand the gospel, and that you know the living God, and that he is Lord. Be glad. And glory in this. Watch this. And I exercise. I exercise. I do it. I exercise what? Loving kindness. Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who could stand? But there's forgiveness with thee. Loving kindness. David prayed in Psalm 51, O God, be merciful unto me according to thy loving kindness. Blot out my transgressions according to thy loving kindness. Purge me with hyssop according to thy loving kindness. Now you can glory in that. I glory in his loving kindness. And I glory in his judgment. There's therefore now no judgment to them who are in Christ. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. I glory in God's judgment. His judgment fell on Christ. And therefore there's none left for me. And he exercises judgment. Loving kindness, judgment, what's this? And righteousness. Where? In the earth. I tell you this. Loving kindness and judgment and righteousness is not reserved for the starry heavens. God says, I exercise it right here on this earth. And all of it in Christ. Bob, in Christ. God's love, for God so loved, he gave his Son. And at Calvary's cross, when his Son bore our sins and sorrows, the judgment of God forsook his Son. And in his daily walk and obedience, God's righteousness was fulfilled in his Son, right here in the earth. You want to glow in something? You want to exalt something and magnify something? All over the world, preachers are magnifying somebody today. They've got the prayer list, and they'll call everybody's name. They've got everybody's name in the bulletin, and they'll stand up and brag on somebody gave this and did that, and they got the names on the windows and names on the pews, and some of them name up under here, you know, and bragging on the flesh and passing out visitors' cards and turning the worship of God into recognition of flesh. You want to honor something? Exalt, magnify something? He said, you glory in this, that you understand and you know that I'm God. And I exercise right here in this earth in my beloved Son, my love and my judgment and my righteousness. You can glory in that. And watch this next line. In these things I delight. I delight. I delight. I can't find much that we do, say, or give in which God could find delight. Do you? Even our righteousness is a filthy rag. But I found right here some things in which my God delights. And I tell you, when I want to learn this, get a hold of this, before I come to this. Before I come to the place where I have no memory, I have no foundation, I have nothing to hold to. Like the infidel son I read about in Mr. Spurgeon's book. He'd been taught all his life there was no God, and the boy was dying. He was screaming and screaming and crying, and his daddy said, "Son, hold on." He said, "Dad, there's nothing to hold to." Before I get there, I want to glory in these things in which God delights. Don't you? I delight, God said, in judgment, in loving kindness, and in righteousness. And all the things in which God delights are found in Christ and are found in me. See, I don't love like God loves. I wish I did. Wish I could. Maybe someday I will. And I'm not just. There's not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And I'm not righteous. But I found one who is. And he is God's delight, in whom my soul delighteth.